for this morning's topic, which is this morning's message is entitled Christian Duties Under Government. Christian Duties Under Government. We celebrated Canada Day on Friday, and we've sung and heard the song to us this morning, the joyful news of that Jesus Christ is coming one day. Christ should set up his kingdom, his reign, and his rule, which will never, ever end. In the meantime, though, while we wait for the blessed hope to appear, what is our duty? What do we as believers do under government? Our world is becoming increasingly unstable. Strange laws, strange policies have come into play recently. So, in light of that, what is our duty under government? And for the answer, take your Bibles, to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And before we dive in into the Word of God, bow in prayer with me. Jesus, we thank you for this day and for our government that you've given to us, that you've ordained. And Lord, our governments have done strange things. But Lord, it is you who's in control, who's sovereignly ordained that they be here for us and to lead us. But Lord, we also recognize that one day you will set up your kingdom and your throne on earth for all men to see. Jesus, come soon. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, into what you would have us do to honor you in our attitudes and actions towards government, we ask, Lord, that you would be with us, O Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, open our ears, help us and not to be rebellious. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 says this: I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So our first duty is outlined right there for us in verse 1. We are to pray, intercede, and give thanks for our government, for kings and all those in authority. It's interesting, is it not? When exactly was the last time you prayed for the government of Canada? For Mr. Trudeau, or back when Mr. Harper held the office, when did you last pray for him? When did you last pray for your MP, or for your the police officer on his way to an emergency? We are to pray for them. But it's interesting here. In the last half of verse 2, it says here, so we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And there is a link between her praying for our government and us living peaceful and holy lives. Yet, what does then prayer do to help us lead peaceful and godly lives? What does it do? Two things prayer does. First of all, it recognizes the sovereignty and authority of God over all peoples, nations, and kingdoms everywhere. In Daniel 5:21, the prophet Daniel stands before the king of Babylon and says that the Most High God is sovereign over all the kingdoms of men and places over them anyone he wishes. Praying for our governments recognizes the authority and sovereignty of God who appointed them. Secondly, it takes the focus off us and our personal issues with the government. That's the second thing prayer does, because it enables us to live peaceful, holy lives, because we will take it to God, our issues of government, we'll take it to God first, instead of grumbling about what they've done recently over a cup of coffee with your buddies. That's what prayer is supposed to do. It's supposed to recognize the sovereignty and authority of God, and it's supposed to take off the focus off us and put it back on Christ. I have a question for you now. We are called to love the Lord our God and with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we also are called to love our neighbor as ourself. So how does grumbling against our government show it? Especially in verse 4, where it says, God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Grumbling does not do that. So then, what should we do? To actually further back up my point, if you want to look at this, you can turn to Acts 23 if you like. I'm not going to turn there, but if you want to, you can turn to Acts 23, where Apostle Paul is on trial for the faith before the Jewish ruling council. And he declares that, brothers, I've lived for God in all, pardon me, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience. And the high priest orders him struck. And the apostle replies, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. What are you doing ordering me struck like that? And the others standing around him tell him, you dare insult God's high priest? And Apostle Paul is like, he is shocked. And he says, brothers, I did not realize that he was God's high priest. And then he quotes from Exodus 22:28, do not speak evil of the ruler of your people. So, what can you do then instead of grumbling about the government over a cup of coffee with your buddies? Well, again, you pray for them. And also, this will also lead me into my next point. You can pray for them, and you can also do the things that they tell you to do. Email, phone, or write to your MPs about issues that concern you. Look at verse 4 again. Or verse 3, pardon me. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, including everybody in government. So, writing, phoning, and emailing your MP is also a great way to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, for God desires all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. That's our first duty, to pray for them. Our second duty, if you want to turn to Romans 13 with me. Romans 13. Our second duty of for government, found in Romans 13, verses 1 to 7, is to obey them. Romans 13, verses 1 to 7. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring judgment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is our second duty as Christians, to obey our governments. It's fairly clear-cut. Three times it mentions they are servants of God. First, for our good, in verse 4. Actually, twice in verse 4, pardon me. He's God's servant to do you good. He is also God's servant. He is an expression of God's anger towards the wicked. It does not matter whether they actually acknowledge Jesus Christ or not. They are servants of God. Respect them as such. Obey them as such. If you can obey the elders and the pastors of your church, why can you not show the same respect to those in authority? To the police officer who caught you speeding. To the bylaw officer. To Mr. Trudeau or to Mr. Wall. So, are you now some of you might be wondering, okay, great, so we should just basically grill up and go about like slaves every time something comes up. No. There is a point where disobedience is allowed. Only if the laws of the land go against what God has said in His Word. That's the only time when you should not obey the authorities. And the best example I can give you, if you want to look it up, is in Acts 5. If you want to look it up, it's in Acts 5. Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. And they've been told previously, once already, not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Rightfully so, they did not comply. They were arrested and hauled in again. And they said, we told you to stop, why haven't you stopped? No, stop or else we'll kill you. And in verse 29 of Acts 5, the famous, we must obey God rather than men comes up. This is the time when it is so explicit. The rulers who said, don't preach Jesus anymore, they've heard from God to do so. So who do you obey, God or man? You obey God. But the law of the land says, say not to steal, and God's word says not to steal, so don't steal. It's that obvious. But if the laws of the land, if persecution ever comes to Canada and says, you cannot preach Jesus anymore, I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and His return for all men. because that is my that is my God-given duty. Ladies and gentlemen, the king is coming. And he will set up his reign and rule over all the ends of the earth. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and it shall never be destroyed. But in the meantime, we have governments here on earth whom must come to faith in Christ, but they must hear. Pardon me. For God desires their salvation. And God desires them to come into knowledge of the truth. Therefore, pray for them and obey them. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for today. Help us, Lord, not to grumble against our government any longer. Help us, Lord, to live peaceful and holy lives that please you. In Jesus' name, amen. And before the worship team comes up, I would like us all, in groups of 4 or 5, just for 4 or 5 minutes, just to pray for the government. Mr. Trudeau, Mr. Wall, whoever you like. But let's spend some serious time in prayer for our congregation, and then I will call the worship team.